the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The people complained. And I can tell you this about the folks back home in Boston. When the winter wears on, we complain. When the hazy, hot, humid days of summer wear on, we complain. It can get too wet. It can get too dry. And as for the traffic and the subway service, one universal is, we complain. I just wanted to let you know you're not alone. Cindy and I were out for lunch on Friday, and there was a bit of a flurry on the way, and we overheard someone say, "I'm sick of winter." We both looked at each other and chuckled and said, "Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, dearie." And we haven't even seen winter in Montana yet. But I suspect we'll find out. And I suspect we'll complain. And so it was that in the wilderness, the people wandered through the desert wastes. And there was no bread, no meat, no water, no vegetables. Like there was back in Egypt. And so the people complained. In Hebrew, the word means literally they murmured. Oh, how exquisitely human. "Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness?" But Moses heard the people's murmuring, recognized their heartaches, rained down bread from heaven. He gave them quail to eat at night. In the morning he gave them manna. And they ran around in the morning, gathering the stuff, saying to each other in Hebrew, "Manna, manna, manna," which literally means, "What is it?" And so that's what they called it, manna. It was just enough to preserve them through those long, long years wandering in the desert wastes. It was a way to humble them, let them know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're still learning that lesson. When we come to this altar rail Sunday by Sunday, we come to the "what is it" of the body of Christ, the magnum mysterium of God's presence in the person of Jesus here in our midst. It is placed in our hands by a parish priest. We too are fed by the bread of heaven, God's living being shared among us. We remember that night when Jesus said to us, "Love one another." And he gave thanks to God, broke the bread, said the blessing, and gave it to us. And likewise after supper, he did the same with the cup of salvation. Remembering the marvels that God has done for us. By the way, class, what are the five mighty acts of God, as the Catechism teaches us? The divine drama is five acts like any great Shakespearean drama. What are they? One, the creation. Two, the Exodus and the law. Three, the Christ event, Jesus. Four, the church. And five, the Christian hope. It is one thing to say that God has acted in history. It's another to say how. Perhaps by naming these five mighty modes of action, you and I can recognize that God continues to be active throughout history and within our own lives. As well, God is always creating, freeing, inviting us into obedience to Him. God is clearly incarnate in the person of Jesus in every single one of you. In the church, we come to know how community relationships participate in the formation of our nature, our Christian nature. And finally, in the Christian hope we share, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, in which we all participate through baptism, we share together in the whole mystery of God in community. And while we are speaking of community, isn't it interesting that we speak of God in community as well? For when we name God as Trinity, we are not speaking merely of a static doctrine. We are speaking of a dynamic community. God is not just our Creator. God is our Savior. God is our Sanctifier. We name God Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As we interact with one another, we recognize something of God within each other. As we see the marvels of creativity all around us, we see Jesus within each other. As we see how we reach out to one another to salvage what we can of each other when we are in distress. And I will say this about the Holy Spirit. Her name, interestingly enough, in the biblical tradition, is Hagia Sophia. Sophia. Wisdom. The holy wisdom from on high. The gift giver who abundantly bestows upon each of us gifts for ministry. The biblical word for spirit is in the feminine form and therefore encourages us all to experience God in all God's fullness. This world needs a church who sees God in such a dynamic term. There is much that seeks to destroy the creatures of God in this world. That's how we define sin, by the way. And we need to use that word on occasion. There is much that seeks to destroy the creatures of God. Just last week, a dear friend of mine lost a grandson to a drug overdose. 18 years old he was. I don't know why he did what he did, or a thousand more who do the same, but I do know that so many of our young people live without hope. There's no work for so many of our young in inner city and rural areas. If we cannot come up with a way to save our young, we are merely an anemic and effectual presence. Is it any wonder why our young are no longer a vital presence in the church? I think we need to find a way to organize our life around their needs and engage all, the entire community fabric around us, so that we can shape the future in hope for all. That's why I think of God as dynamic community, God as creative, God as redemptive, God who makes all holy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this I submit to you is how we are to engage the powers and principalities. In today's gospel, the landowner sends us out to do the work God wants us to do. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers a few, we are told elsewhere. That is to say, there are so many human needs out there. When the church is at its most effective. That's how we organize our life. Celtic Christians, for instance, organized their work around the sick, the dying, the hungry, those in need of an education. Great scholars, that crowd. Interestingly enough, they were also great cooks and wonderful beer makers. They were cheerful sorts in a depressing world. To them, the gospel was good news and brought joy to the world. As we go forth to do God's work, the landowner finds others idle as the day wears on. Why are you standing around here idle?
Nobody hired us. We're bored to tears.
Maybe they resorted to crime, maybe alcoholism, maybe drugs. And I suspect they did a good deal of complaining. But God challenges us with the notion of discipleship. There are always unmet human needs. Matthew's gospel enumerates them in the 25th chapter. For there are always hungry, thirsty. There are strangers who need your welcome, naked, sick, imprisoned. How interesting that this is how Jesus judges the nations of the earth in the same manner as they treat the least of these in their midst. Allow me to add, the inner city youth, the rural young, are easy pickings for alcohol and drug abuse and criminal activity. I think the landowner's question is a legitimate one. Why are we standing idly by when there are so many unmet human needs? It doesn't matter when we go. First thing in the morning, the last hour of the day. For to Jesus, the first and the last are one and the same. What I find most compelling about this gospel passage is that whenever we respond to human need and do the ministry God has sent us to do, the kingdom of heaven immediately breaks in upon us. It satisfies something deep within the human soul when we respond to the needs of those beset right now by disaster, whether in Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, Mexico. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in a chorus of human suffering, crying out for help. We keep writing checks to the Episcopal Relief and Development Fund. And I'm sure there are many of you who also do, to the Red Cross and all kinds of other charities. Likewise, the Cathedral Social Concerns Committee seeks to respond to so many of our local human needs. This is God at work. God, our Creator, our Savior, our gift giver, in dynamic community known as the church. This is who we are called to be. First, last, always. Paul writes in today's epistle, live your life in such a manner that you are worthy of the gospel of Christ. Oh well, still the people complain. We are all too human. Just goes with the territory. Just ask any parish priest or administrator. But living the gospel and keeping our eyes on the kingdom work by caring for one another in all our needs, that's what will satisfy the community of God within us. For we too will become creative. We too will save one another in the midst of every disaster. We too will bring to bear the gifts God has so lavishly bestowed upon us in wisdom. This community of faith known as the Holy Trinity is far more than a doctrine. For the dynamic community of God is knit into every human heart. In the name of God, the most holy, undivided, and everlasting Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
And now, if you would, please join with me in proclaiming the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.